Good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. With me, Dr. Matthew Bunsen. We're talking about Pope Francis's trip to Uganda, Kenya, Central African Republic. He said that the year of mercy is an occasion for Christian communities, which are called to holiness, to ask forgiveness for their all too frequent reluctance and hesitation in bearing witness to the gospel. That's an interesting comment, an acknowledgement there that Catholics have too frequently held back from sharing what they know of Christ. Talk to us about the opening of the Holy Door, because that's the first Holy Door that was opened outside of Rome, I understand.
It was. And for anyone who's seen the video, I would encourage everyone to go to news.va or the National Catholic Register, a few other places where they have video of this. It is a forceful opening of the Holy Door. Pope Francis pushes it to great effect and stood there for a second, I think, recognizing the significance of the fact that here in a city like Bangui, which is ravaged with war, in a part of the world that is most in dire need of God's loving mercy, that he had the chance to open a holy door in anticipation of an entire year of this. And it was quite a moment. In fact, I think this will go down as one of the most memorable moments in this pontificate.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
What does that symbolize?
Well, I think it symbolizes that, as I was saying, that he's willing to go to the peripheries, that he is bringing the message of God's mercy to the most far-flung parts of the world.
Every ethnic group, every culture, every religion, every people group.
Precisely. And in Kenya, where he had just visited, you're talking about the population of 44 million with 42 different ethnic and language groups, all trying to figure out a way to make this system work, to build a stable society. In Bangui, you had people who were murdered in gun battles the very night before he went to some of these events. And Francis was keenly aware, I think, of the fact that the government that they have there is very tenuous. It is an interim government, and things can go very wrong.
Yeah.
We already have at least 6,000 people killed. We have 400,000 to 500,000 people have been displaced within the country just since 2013. So Francis is not just making a gesture. He's making, I think, a very profound theological point that in this place, in opening this holy door, it is an invitation to walk through that door into a new era for all of Africa. And that was one of the points that he made, too, in a lot of his speeches, especially in his closing mass in Bangui.
There was one place where he said, he is risen from the dead. Henceforth, the trials and sufferings which we experience are always opportunities opening up to a new future, provided we are willing to follow him. And then he concluded asking for the intercession of the Blessed Mother, who by sharing in the passion of her Son now shares in his perfect joy. May she protect you and encourage you on this path of hope. Do you know exactly where that was?
I do not, but I'd be happy to try to find that.
Yeah, I'm just curious, what was the setting for that? Because there's a straightforward proclamation of the resurrection of the dead. And I know in another passage he had, but I don't know the setting again, unfortunately. I've got a quote in front of me. Eternal life is not an illusion. It is not a flight from the world. It is a powerful reality which calls out to us and challenges us to persevere in faith and love. So the reason I point those out is because he did not shy away from proclaiming the fullness of the faith. He
right.
wasn't just talking about our social doctrine, I guess is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. He did not arrive there simply as sort of a social justice warrior.
Right.
Going to the poor parts of the city to quote the great lashings of Laudato Si.
Yeah.
Which is one of the perceptions, I think, that some people in the media, even some Catholic media, were projecting.
Yeah.
He can and does on a regular basis really proclaim solid teachings in proper settings. I mean that there are times when he doesn't. I just mean that he's willing in those settings to be very clear and very specific in the proclamation of the church's teachings, especially relating to salvation and hope. And hope in the future is something that he really stressed. In that final mass, for example, in Bangui, he kept urging people to look to the future, but also to go back and understand the requirements of faith. That was something that he did in Uganda when he went to the shrine of the Ugandan martyrs. And these were Catholics and Anglican martyrs who were burned to death because they would not engage in the sex cult of the king of Uganda.
Right.
And died for the faith. And Francis not only called them to strengthen the family, to remember family life in Uganda, but also to emulate the zeal of those martyrs. And that, I think, was a very clear message to Uganda. Yes, there's this question of inclusion that he went to a couple of times. But at the same time, it's a proper understanding of the human person and to embrace the faith of the chastity and the love of the faith that these young men who died martyrs were willing to give their lives for.
Did he say much about political corruption?
Repeatedly. In his largely off-the-cuff remarks, and I would add parenthetically that he spoke a great deal of the time off-the-cuff to different groups at the University of Nairobi. He had an encounter with young people, and he hit on two themes that are very important in Kenya and elsewhere. One is tribalism, this idea of being held hostage to your tribal origins to the cost of the good of the country.
Yeah.
The other was corruption.
Yeah.
Corruption is one of the largest problems facing Africa today. It is endemic, unfortunately, and it's proving one of the greatest hindrances to establishing long-term stable democratic governments.
You know, we often forget here in the United States, where we have peaceful transitions of power every 4 or 8 years, that's a very rare phenomenon in the history of the human government. In corruption, authoritarianism, dictatorships, brutal monarchies, these are far more common than republics, democracies, in which there are smooth transitions of power involving multiple parties. So when he's there talking about the problems of political corruption, he's really addressing what has been fairly common throughout human history. And he's not
just
isolating Africa as especially corrupt. I mean, this is building nations. In almost always, you've got people who will create all kinds of people strive for power. And when people strive for power, they create factions. And when they create factions, they usually create war. So, and that's
and he had a very similar message in his trips to Bolivia and elsewhere in South America.
Yeah,
that the South American countries, the Latin American countries, have struggled with the same problem.
That's right,
especially since the very collapse of the Spanish Empire. You've had the colonial powers interfering. Now you have transnational corporations and other governmental agencies interfering with the lives of African and Latin American countries.
That's true. Oftentimes those transnational corporations have net assets far greater than the government itself in those countries.
Exactly. And we're seeing, certainly in the history of Africa, we saw part of the Cold War, proxy wars being fought all across Africa, of the United States and the Soviet Union with competing interests. And now, of course, the People's Republic of China is increasingly engaged in Africa itself for the acquisition of natural resources. And Francis was talking about the biodiversity, but also the great diversity of humans. He recognizes that Africa for a very long time has been looked at as an HRR territory, human resource rich, that is there to be exploited. And that's something that he's warning everyone about. And it's one of the lessons, I think, that he's trying to teach.
When he refers to political corruption. Does he ever recommend what in America we would call freedom of the press, freedom of religion? And in other words, does the exercise of liberty act as a solvent to some of the problems of corruption?
Yeah, he does. He refers and referred a few times in Africa to key principles of transparency.
Yes, okay.
That you have the freedom of the press. If you noticed on his press conference going back to Rome, he also talked about the role of the press and defended it, but then he added, especially with regard to the whole VatiLeaks trial, that little section there of his back and forth with reporters, I thought was pretty interesting, about the need for journalists not to misinform.
Right.
And to follow certain ethics. And I think given the way the VatiLeaks have turned out, I think it's a very valid request on the part of the Holy Father.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the questions that he gets asked, we often forget the kind of world leader he is. I'm more interested in the theology and the I'm interested in the areas of where culture and theology interface. But you know, he has to be always on. He's got to have his theology straight. He's got to have his sacraments straight. He's got to have the politics of the nation straight where he's speaking. He's got to have the cultural background straight. There's a tremendous amount of weighing of his words that he must do. I'm surprised he dares to speak off the cuff at all.
Well, and Pope Francis really likes to speak off.
I know he does, yes.
Well, you and I have spent a great deal of time over the last 2.5 years talking about the fact that he speaks off the cuff. Partly, I think, and this is something I noted in his Africa trip, that he chose not to speak a lot of English during this trip.
Interesting.
He engaged mostly in Spanish, but the other was, facing these heartbreaking situations, he spoke openly from the heart.
Interesting. Hey, Matthew, our Sunday Visitor has your reporting on this.
It does, yeah. It'll be posted shortly.
Very good. And we'll send people there. Thanks so much.
It's a privilege as always, Al. Take care.
Dr. Matthew Bunsen reporting on the Holy Father's visit to Central Africa.